Lord, God, your promises are always by our side. Lord, they're always being fulfilled. Lord, and it's just a great reminder of who you are. It's a great reminder of what we're going to study today. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts will be opened. God, I pray that our ears will be open to hearing your word and being spoken into by you. Lord, your word is inspired. Lord, your word challenges us and changes us. Lord, and I pray that that would not be different today. Lord, I pray that we would leave here more like your son, Jesus, than we came in. Lord, that we would leave here with a desire to want to just invest into people and to show them the love and to show them, Lord, that you are real. Lord, and you are the God of this universe. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we ask, Lord, that your word will come alive. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. So, one of the downfalls of growing up and living in New Jersey is growing up and living in New Jersey. No, but seriously. One of the downfalls is the unfortunate event of having to experience hurricanes. Now, where we lived, we got to experience like the outskirts of it. But when I worked for Cintas, the area, the territory that I was to cover was the Jersey Shore. And in 2012, one of the biggest and most powerful hurricanes hit the coast in Hurricane Sandy. Now, as humans, one of the things that we have a hard time doing is trusting people. And two of the groups that we have a hard time trusting most are weathermen and the government. And when you combine both of them together, it typically is a catastrophe. And in 2012, when Hurricane Sandy hit, there was a family who, a year earlier, Irene hit, and they were told to evacuate, and they trusted the government, and they evacuated. But their house was ransacked. People went in and stole a lot of things. And so when Hurricane Sandy hit, they didn't want to trust the government or even the weather people. Even though the weather people said, this is a big storm, get out. They didn't trust them. So they decided to stay back because they wanted to protect their belongings. They said that their belongings are more important than their life. And as a result, when Sandy hit, you can guess what happened. They all lost their lives. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would say that we have a struggle of trusting people as well. And this idea of trust isn't just for us. It's common throughout centuries. And we've been learning the last couple months that even some of the greatest Bible characters that we look at, men of the faith, struggle with trust as well. And a lot of them struggle with trusting God for some apparent reason. I have no idea. Because one thing we see about God is totally different than we see about just human beings. Is that when God says something, it's going to happen. And it does happen. But yet we see countless times of that happening where people don't trust God. But what happens when God does what he says he's going to do? When God fulfills his promises? Well, let's look at Genesis 21. If you have your Bibles, you can open up with me, or a tablet or a phone. And I'm going to have it on the screen as well. In verse 1, it says this, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he has said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time that God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And verse 8 says, the child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. They will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. And early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He sent them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water and the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. And then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Now bear with me today. This sermon is going to be a more so a compare and contrast. And there's two kind of stories here and two different families, and so I'm going to compare and contrast them. But in the end, it's all going to come back to one idea. But first, I want to introduce a couple of my friends. Abraham and Sarah. And there's some things I want to point out before we get into the meat of the sermon. The first off, right off the bat, one thing we see countless times again is God's character. And right off the bat, it says that God was gracious to Sarah. Even after they didn't trust him, even after what we learned last week and Abraham totally lied, God's character is God's character. See, God can't be anybody else but himself. And so one of the things you see is that continuously God shows his grace even when we don't deserve it. And again, with everything that Sarah and Abraham did, in reality, they didn't deserve it, but God was so gracious to her because he can only be who he is. And we saw that Sarah became pregnant and bore her son. Now, that was significant because we learned a couple months ago and a couple chapters earlier that Sarah was barren. She couldn't give birth. And we learned earlier that she freaked out, and as a result, she had Abraham sleep with Hagar. And that's how Ishmael was born. But God consistently told him, what are you doing? My promise, the promise that I'm giving you, the promise that I told you, that you are going to be a blessed nation and that your descendants are going to be blessed, is going to come through Isaac, not Ishmael. So why did you make the decision to do what you did? Fast forward 14 years later, and God stays true to his promise. And Sarah gave birth. And the one thing we learn is that God's timing isn't our timing. For most of us, when we hear a promise or we hear something, when people say it, we have the temptation just to try to rush it. Because if you're anything like me, you're very impatient. And you do things out of that impatientness. And as a result, it costs you many things. And so we know is that Sarah was in conflict. She was in torment because she couldn't give birth. But God promised, and God fulfilled his promise. And one other thing we learn is that Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was about 90. And one thing we learn about God is this, is that no matter what, God is able to do the impossible. God can do things that we think are unattainable, that we think cannot happen. And God's just like, I'll show you. Because that is God. If God can create the world, he can do anything. And he showed him that God can do it. And Sarah gave birth. And the first thing that we see about Abraham and Sarah in this passage is that God's promise was met with trust and obedience. Great things happen when we just trust God and we obey him. And the first thing we saw is that Abraham obeyed God by naming him Isaac and circumcising him. Now, this is one opportunity Abraham had, saying, God, you know what? You're God. I'm going to obey you. And so he obeyed God by naming him Isaac and circumcising him. Great things happen when we trust God. And later in the passage, when we read, we just saw this. We saw that Hagar was crying. She was freaking out. She was afraid because she did not want to see her son die. And God came to her and said, Hagar, what are you doing? I told you as well that your son is going to be made into a great nation. Why are you afraid? Get up. Take your son. And so essentially, Hagar trusted God, and her eyes were open, and God provided water for them. Hagar trusted God. And how many times do we get so many promises, and we see that throughout Scripture, God's promises time and time again, but yet we respond in similar ways. We respond in fear. I know for me, earlier in the summertime, I was told that I was losing my job at Faith Alliance in St. Paul. And what did I do? I did what I know I can do best. Be impatient and try to make decisions out of that. And what did I start doing? I started looking up jobs because I was freaking out. I was looking up not only church jobs, but I was looking up secular jobs because I said, you know what? I need a job. And I'm just going to freak out and I'm going to do a job. And the whole entire time, God is saying, look at me, seek me, and I will provide for your needs. But how many of us lose that faith and we lack that trust in who God is? And the question is, are you willing to trust and be obedient to God's promises? Are you willing to stand and say, you know what? I'm going to trust God even if it's hard. For Sarah, it was hard. Abraham, it was hard. They did not want to wait. They wanted the promise right then and there. But God says, just trust me and wait. And the great thing is this, is that God's promises, they're always going to be fulfilled. And one thing we know about God's promises, every single one of his promises, or we can call them covenants. So another word for promise is covenant. They always give salvation. They always point to salvation. Every single one of his covenants, whether it was Noah, whether it was Moses, whether it was Abraham, whether it was David, they all led to the same thing, salvation. And one thing we see in this passage, and we learn in verse 12, is this, that salvation was through Isaac, not Ishmael. God's promise was through Isaac. And God said what he was going to do, and he did it. And he provided Isaac. And Isaac was the line that our beautiful Savior came from. And it was a line. And when we learn more about Isaac in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see that there is so many similarities between Christ and Isaac. One we can learn right off the bat is this, is that God did the unimaginable with Sarah. She was way past her childbearing years, but God allowed her to give birth. And what did we learn over Christmas? God took a virgin and made a miracle out of it. And we learned that God's promises, no matter what, are always going to be fulfilled, and they always lead to salvation. And from a physical standpoint, when Hagar trusted God and trusted in his promises, God essentially saved them and protected them. And God walked with them. And so we know that sometimes God does miraculous things even through other people. Ishmael was in the promised line. But the thing about God is that when he promised Abraham that every single one of your descendants are going to be blessed, that was Ishmael. And God told Hagar, I promised you that your son is going to be into a great nation. And we learn that he was. And Isaiah says this, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." How many of us are so held in bondage because of our fear? How many of us don't trust God and what God promises in Scripture because we are afraid? See, fear controls us. Fear hinders us from living the way that we are called to live. But one thing we see in this passage and we threw out Scripture is that God's promises not only give salvation, but when salvation happens, it ultimately leads to freedom. And this passage right off the top, there's a pretty picture here. God has a funny way of playing on words. And we know that in verse 6, it said that Sarah was filled with joy and laughter. She laughed. But what happened earlier when God told her she was going to give birth? She laughed then. And the play on word is that Isaac's name means laughter. And it's just a beautiful picture. But here, this laughter, this joy is totally different. Because before, it was a lack of trust. And it was a lack of saying, "Ha ha, you're funny." But this joy here, when Isaac was born, it freed her up. Because women back then, their identity was found in childbearing. And if she couldn't give birth, that controlled her. That held her down from being the woman that God can make her to be. And for her to be. And this laughter allowed other people to join in and laugh with her, kind of like this.
Here we go. I gotta take off my glasses for it. Oh, naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask! Here, listen.
But for me, I just picture Sarah and so much joy and just so much laughter that she just let it out and she was so free. And when we laugh with joy, you get that sense of freedom. And for me, I just picture Sarah doing that. When she's holding Isaac in her hand and God finally fulfilled his promise, she was free. She was free from the bondage of identity because she felt that she was identified because she couldn't give birth. And the thing about God is that when we fully trust in his promises, it frees us from being the men and women that we are called to be. And Sarah was free from doing that. And I feel bad for Hagar because, in a sense, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and when she gave birth to Ishmael, I know as a mom, she was connected. And through that, Sarah felt mocked because of that. And she felt mocked until she was able to give birth and she freed him. She was free. But we also learned this, that Hagar and Ishmael were no longer slaves. That because of the promise, yeah, and unfortunately, Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. Now there's some discrepancy whether it was he was playing with them, whether there was a serious mocking. But one thing she learned is that there was no way that Ishmael was going to receive any of the inheritance promised to them. Because when you're a child of, let's say, Abraham, you're due an inheritance. And Sarah's saying there's no way that that boy is going to receive that. And the only way for them to get rid of that promise, that inheritance, was to accept freedom over their inheritance. So Sarah sent Ishmael and Hagar away. And so Hagar and Ishmael were no longer slaves. They were free. And there's a beautiful picture in Galatians that I want us to open up to. And so if you have your Bible, you can open up with me to Galatians 4. And there's this compare and contrast that we've been doing between Isaac and Ishmael and Sarah and Hagar. And Paul does a great job of comparing this. And we're going to start in verse 21. So Galatians 4:21. And it says this, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. So the woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free," so he's talking about heaven, "and she is our mother. For it is written, 'Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband.' Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? 'Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son.' Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." And a lot of times when we read the Old Testament, and we read especially Genesis and the books of Moses, we have this question: how does this passage connect to me? How does this passage correspond? How can Genesis, which is thousands of years ago, how could it connect to my life? Well, Paul did a great job of connecting it here, because there was almost a battle going on between the religious men and people who accepted Christ. And many of the men, the religious men back then, were so legalistic in their approach. They said, in order to be a child of Abraham, well, you must be circumcised. You must become a Jew. And so there was this battle going on, and Paul called him out and said, "What are you talking about? You say you're a child of Abraham, but the question is, of which woman? Are you a child of Hagar? Or are you a child of the free woman, Sarah?" And there's this battle going on because they claimed that in order for God to love you, in order for you to be a child of God, you had to be circumcised. And Paul's saying, that is not it. That is not it at all. That's the old way of doing things. That's the old way of focusing on things, because they were so controlled by the law. And they thought that if they follow the law to the T, that God would love them, and God will follow them. And Paul's saying, man, you guys are a child of the promise. When Jesus came, he became that. So focus on that. Focus on your freedom. And the question I have for you is, what are you allowing to enslave you? What do I mean by that? Sarah, she was enslaved by this overwhelming feeling that she wasn't worth anything because she didn't have children. And we also know that a couple chapters beforehand, they were controlled by fear. And what did they do? They responded in the flesh. And Sarah told Abraham to sleep with Hagar. And that was done in the flesh. That was done outside of God's will. So what is enslaving you? What are you allowing yourself to be controlled by that you lose focus of that promise? What are you allowing to control you that you lose focus of who God is? A lot of us, we're controlled by something. For me, it isn't being impatient, because I make decisions so much out of that I lose focus in who God is. Becky can attest to that. I make some pretty bad decisions when I'm impatient. And when I see something or I hear something and I want it, I don't wait. I try to get it, and as a result, I face some pretty bad consequences sometimes. So what are you allowing to enslave you? Well, what do I mean? What are you talking about? Well, I think First John gives a big picture of what we allow to enslave us, and it's in 3 points: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everything that we allow to control us can be found in these three things. The lust of the eyes, what are you looking at that you want that controls you? The lust of the flesh, what is it that you are being controlled by in terms of pleasure and the things that fill your appetites? Or what about the pride of life? How many of you are so controlled by your own pride that you cannot trust God? Matter of fact, it controls you so much, you can't even trust those around you. We all lose focus, and all of us get caught up in this picture. We all get caught up in being enslaved. And God, the whole entire time in Scripture, is saying, just trust in me. Focus on me. But yet we respond with being impatient. We live in a world that's so fast-paced that we want everything right then and there. And when God says, I promise, we expect it right then and there. But how about you? But in Genesis 1, God promised that he was going to send a Savior. It took hundreds of years for that to happen. And for Sarah and Abraham, he was 100. It took 100 years for them to finally get a child that was part of the promise. See, when God makes promises, it's not according to our time. Because the thing about God is he so works out of time, outside of who we are. See, in Scripture, we see so many times that when we accept Christ, it says that I promise you hope, and I promise you joy, and I promise you peace, and I promise you love, and I promise you fulfillment. But yet we want it right then and there, and we expect it right then and there. But God is saying, look at me, continue to look at me, and it will happen. The greatest thing is that God's promises, every single one of his promises points to Christ. Every single one of them. That is the beautiful thing about Scripture, is that it all encompasses who Christ is. From the first initial promise to even creation, all the way through, all the covenants, they all point to Christ. Because salvation is not found in the flesh, but is found in Christ. When we make a decision because of our flesh, we have to face the consequences of it. And Sarah still faced those consequences. And unfortunately, Hagar faced consequences as well. Because when we respond in the flesh, it is outside of God's will. We need to trust him. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking according to God's will and God's plan? Are you looking at Scripture and you're saying, you know what? God is promising me this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit there. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on his promises. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, the flesh controls us. And the beautiful thing about Scripture, and the beautiful thing about the good news of Jesus Christ, it says that when we accept Christ and we trust in the promise that he sent his son, when we trust that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us and rose again, one, we're saved. The Bible says we're justified. But you know what it also says? Is that you're free from the bondage of sin. Every promise points to this. The promise of Isaac, and through his line, Abraham's line would be reckoned all the way through to this one man in Jesus, the Son of God. We celebrated him over Christmas, and the question is, are you standing upon that promise? Imagine if Noah did not trust in God and didn't build the ark. Imagine if Mary never trusted in God and said, you know what, God, you know best. I'm your servant. Use me. When we trust and obey God, and when we obey his promises, and we trust in him, good things happen. But they're not going to happen without sometimes some struggles. And so maybe you're in a struggle. Maybe you are hurting. Maybe you're faced with affliction. And you're like, wait a minute, God promised me freedom. God promised me peace. God promised me joy. Sometimes God allows us to go through things that we don't know. The one thing he says is continually look at me. Continually look at Jesus Christ. Because I promise you that when you fully just fall on my knees, and if fully you fall into my arms, I promise you that you will have true joy, and you'll have true peace, and you'll be free to live the way that you are called to live. Because our identity is not found in this world. Our identity is found in Christ. And I think when Sarah finally realized that, it was just full of joy with her son and who God is. And so the question is, are you ready to stand in that promise? The promise of who God is. The promise that his promises will always be fulfilled. Because God cannot be anybody else but who he is. And this week we learned in youth group, we learned the question, and we asked the question, can we trust the Bible? And the ultimate answer is yes. We can trust everything that's in here. Because if God says who he is, and if we know and trust that God is holy, and that God cannot mess up, or he cannot do something outside of his nature, then we know that we can trust everything in here. And the one thing we can trust is that when we meet God's promises with trust and obedience, it gives way to salvation and ultimately leads to freedom. So how about it? Are you ready just to stand on his promises? Are you ready to stand in the promise that in him there's freedom? And in him there's victory. And in him, death has been overcome. As the band comes, I just want to read to you the song that they're gonna play. The title of the song is called Death Was Arrested. And in verse 1, it just says this, alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested and my life began. The Bible says that when we accept in Christ and we accept that promise, it says that we've entered into a new life and our old life is no more. And so when we begin faith in Jesus, your life, the life that you are meant to live, the life that God created this world for, will begin when you fully accept Christ. And the chorus just says this, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Oh, yes, it does. The promise of God gives salvation, which ultimately leads to freedom. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. Lord, help us to trust in you. Lord, help us to obey your promises and just to lean on that, to lean on your promises that they will be fulfilled. Because, Lord, we learn that your promise gives salvation, which ultimately leads to freedom. And so, Lord, may we be free to be who we are called to be. May we be free to live in victory, away from the bondage, away from enslavement. Lord, we're called to give it to you. Lord, and may we just let it up, and may we give it to you. And may your love just abound in us. And so, Lord, as we sing a song about how when you died, death was arrested, Lord, may we stand upon this promise that in you is new life. God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.